in the new year, are you going to do any church? Do you go to church? Do you think you ought to go to church, but you don't? Are you glad you don't go to church? Or do you go every week, three times a week? Who knows? Why? What's church all about? Why do we do it? Should we do it? Is it required? Let's talk about On the Corner of Truth and Life. Welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall. The word church is just one of those words that everyone knows the word, and we all have a picture of what that word means. And whether you are very religious, whether you are a churchgoer, whether you are a church avoider, wherever you fall on that spectrum, the word church evokes a thought, an idea, a picture in your mind. And I would say for the vast majority of us, no matter what our background is, that picture is of a building. Even if you have a better understanding of what the biblical use of that word is, I'm guessing that your regular picture that pops into your brain unbidden when the word church is used is of a building. If you go to church, it's probably the building you go to. If you don't go to church, it's a building you drive by or you've seen, or it's the generic either big imposing stone structure or the little white thing with the pointy part on the front. But either way, we almost always picture a building. And so then when we say, now if you add the word to add the phrase, the verb to go to it, like going to church, or are you going to go to church? Do you go to church? Now the next thing you picture is probably being inside that building. Most likely sitting in a pew, or if it's a more modern church, a chair facing front. And that's what you picture. And up front is a priest or a rabbi or a pastor or some person probably dressed up, and you sit there. And so these are the images when we church. And again, no matter what our background, our history, or persuasion, that tends to be fairly constant. I'm guessing that there's very few that isn't true, even if, again, you have a better understanding of what the biblical word church really means. That's what we picture. And that is, boy, that's powerful, and it can be very comforting. It can also be very daunting, and some people, because of that picture alone is enough to keep them away. And so I wanted to dig into a little bit of our understanding, even if you say you already understand the word. So the word church, of course, is an English word. It's a translated word. And, of course, translation is not supposed to be primarily about words. Translation is about ideas and thoughts. And words are what convey those ideas and thoughts. And so when you're translating from one language to another, you're trying to find the word that best translates the thought. And that's what really we're talking about in this podcast today, this show, is that the word church has developed such a cultural meaning to us as English speakers that it really no longer captures the thought that it is supposed to express. Because the word in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Greek, that was used, that we translate church, is ekklesia. Ekklesia. And you can spell it with C or with K. Ekklesia. And so that's, we use that, a version of that word, anglicized, to talk about church. We say things are ecclesiastical, and the ecclesiastical office, talking about maybe a pastor or a priest or something. But it's from the ecclesia. Well, ecclesia does not mean white building with pointy part or large stone structure. It does not mean stained glass windows. It does not mean pews and a pulpit and a pastor or a priest. That alliterated nicely. It actually means the called out ones. Those who have been called out. So it refers to a group, not an institution. And it defines them with a characteristic, that of being called out. You've been called out. The ecclesia, the called out ones. And so right off the bat, man, our picture of what church is skewed. It's off. Because we don't think about being a group. We think about going to a thing. Now, when I use the word family, you might picture a house, maybe your parents' house, or your house. But if I say the word family, you will first and foremost probably picture people. Because family has to do with not a place or a building, but a group of people. And it still may have a positive or negative context. If you have a bad relationship with your family, then maybe you don't think good things when you hear the word family. But family is a group of people. And if I say your family, you say, well, a group of people to which I am a part of. And I am defined by these relationships. Well, ecclesia is a group of people that you are to be a part of. And ecclesia, church, is supposed to be defined by those relationships. And so already, we are so far beyond how so many of us think about church. Even if you are card-carrying, conservative, evangelical, whatever, you still probably, subconsciously, and when somebody says church, picture a Sunday morning service in a building with a certain look and feel. And you may, if you are particularly involved, think about the people there too. But you mostly think about what you do there and where you do it. But that is not the primary definition or conception of what the Bible says church is. Church is the people who have been called out, called by God, into a new relationship, into a new community. Now, why? Why have they been called out? Well, we say, well, it's so we can worship God. Worship God is definitely part of being the called out ones, definitely part of it. But how do we express worship or the attribution, I'm having trouble with that word, to attribute worth and importance to something? That's what worship is, to declare its importance and its value. How do we worship? Well, we think, well, we sing, we pray, we chant, we sit quietly, we learn. And all those things are true. But the Bible says that the primary purpose of the called out ones is to make Jesus known to more people, to call out more people, to make more people aware of the good news. We call it the gospel, it's just another translated word, the good news. And the good news is what? That Jesus forgives you because he died for you, because he died on the cross and made it so you can have a relationship with God and have a relationship with each other, not based on how good you are to each other and not based on how good you are to God, but based on how good God is to you and to each other. And now we reflect the goodness of God given to us to each other. And that forms us into a group that has been defined by and informed by and controlled by how much God loves us, expressed in Jesus dying on the cross. And so now that's radically different than a group of people who meet at a building to have an organization to sit around and talk about how good they are. Instead, it's a group of people that come together to figure out how best to communicate to everyone else in their lives, including each other, but not limited to each other, how good God is and how much he loves them and how much he has done to express that love. Dying on the cross. And that's a very different view of the purpose and function of church. And so if you go into a building that calls itself a church, has the word church on it somewhere, and it's hard to go because they don't make you feel welcome. And I want to specify, not making you feel welcome does not mean that they tell you, oh, you are such a wonderful person. Because we're not wonderful people. We've got problems. And we do things we shouldn't do. And the Bible says there's all kinds of things in our lives we shouldn't do. And if that offends you, well, that's going to offend you. But the Bible says that although you do things you shouldn't do, and although there are things in your life that are wrong, God loves you. And so when you walk into the building, one of the first things that should really hit you is, we are glad you're here. We love you. And that's then the context for everything else that happens, including sometimes learning that, wow, there are parts of my life that I have to surrender. Maybe things I even like or are important to me that I have to surrender. Oh, but that's what Jesus did. He loved life. He loved being God. And he surrendered that on the cross. Oh, and now I do the same. Okay, get it. But all of it and everything that Jesus did is because he loves. And so the church, its goal, according to the Bible, is to let other people know and to share with each other how much God loves us, that he was willing to die on the cross. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have life forever. Jesus loves us. We know he loves us because he died for us. And that's the purpose of church. To remind each other of that and to let new people know that. That's what we have been called out to do. So if you, when I say the word church, and especially if you are not a church person and you say, oh yeah, it's a bunch of religious people that get together and be religious. Well, there are people who that's their view of the people who are there. Some of them, that's how they understand church to be, because that's what the culture says, but that's not what the Bible says. That may be what certain branches of church history say, but that's not what the Bible says. And that's why here on the Corner of Truth and Life, our goal is to say, well, where does truth, the Word of God, intersect with real life? And sometimes church isn't at that intersection because we're more dictated by the traditions of men than the Word of God, which says you are not a building, you are not an organization, you are a group of people defined by God's love for you expressed on the cross. And now encourage one another with those words and tell other people. And that is worship. That is the worship of God. When you proclaim him and that his mission to seek and to save the lost is important and you share his heart. And so if you haven't been to church, I encourage you to find a church that makes declaring how much God loves you and that he died for you important, because God loves you and he died for you, and that's important. And let's reflect on that as church today. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North J. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.